James chapter number 1. I had this ready Wednesday night, and Brother Sonny decided he was going to preach for us Wednesday night. I'm glad he did. I told him I would say this until another night. Tonight is that night. Now, I plan on trying to be very generous and give you a gift this evening. Don't hold me to this. I don't plan on being any more in about 25, 30 minutes. We'll get out of here maybe a little bit early tonight. I'm doing it by design that way. Don't know how far exactly I will get. I plan on leaving some of this until right before our business meeting on Wednesday night. It's one of those strange things. I got too much for one message and probably not enough for two. But we'll just kind of do half and half somewhere along that line and finish up. James chapter number 1, we want to go to what we would call our third stop in what we have entitled as our journey through James. And I'll tell you that tonight, I'm going to be talking about a subject in which I have a terrible deficiency in myself. You can tell by the screen what my subject deals with. My title I put on the screen is Wise or Otherwise. Now, that's not original with me. I stole that title off another preacher. I didn't steal his sermon. I kept my sermon, but I liked his title. And the reason I liked his title, and I forget who it was, I try to give him the credit that he deserves, but he probably stole it off somebody else anyway. But the reason I like his title is that pretty much describes me to a T. I am the otherwise. I'm not the wise. I confess, I feel like I have a terrible deficiency in wisdom in my life many, many times. I lack that. Now, I thought about this as I was putting this lesson together. I guess it's more of a lesson than it is a sermon. I don't know that there's much difference many times. But I thought about this. I have preached over the years many sermons through the book of James. If you could see my Bible from that far away, James only has 5 chapters, and it's so marked up I can't hardly read the text. I keep writing notes in there. I'll listen to somebody else preach, and I'll write down their notes, or I'll preach, and I want to have something in there, and I'll write it down. Now I've got so much stuff written down, I can't read most of it. But I've preached a lot of sermons out of the book of James over the years. It's one of my favorite books to preach from. And so I had a choice as we start going through this book, primarily on Wednesday nights. I could skip over a lot of the stuff that I feel like we've covered a number of different times over the years. But if I did that, it'd be the shortest series on record, I think. Because I have preached several messages from pretty much all the chapters in the book of James. And so I had that choice, either to skip over or plan on redoing a lot of it. I chose the latter. Now, the reason I chose the latter is that James, I think, is worthy of going through time and time again, over and over again in our Christian life. James deals with some real life issues. James, as I said last time, I think James does not deal so much with the theological, with the doctrinal. James deals more with the practical, some very real life issues that all of us face. Last time, I did just one lesson. I was surprised I got by with just doing one lesson on verses 2 through 4. And the reason it surprised me getting through it in one lesson was it talks about something that all of us have to deal with. That is the problem of trouble and trials and tribulation in our life. We have a lot of it. And we know that. Listen, you might as well mark it down. Bad stuff's going to happen in your life. We live in a sin-cursed earth. We live in sin-cursed bodies. Bad stuff is going to happen. And as a matter of fact, it seems like worse stuff happens to God's people. People don't like this. It has been ordained so. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. In this world you shall have tribulation. Those are verses I've given you over and over again. Now here's the thing. even though I know that up here, I mean, I know bad stuff's going to happen in my life. I know trouble's coming. But it seems like every time it happens, it still throws me for a loop. You know, that's just the way it is. Even with that knowledge, being forewarned that trouble's going to happen, many of us have a hard time handling trials and troubles and tribulations. We're just that way. By the way, how many of you heard of a fellow named Chester Harding before? Anybody heard of him? Maybe I can teach you something then for once. Chester Harding was a well-known painter back in the late 1700s and in the early 1800s especially. And his expertise was painting portraits, personal photos, or personal portraits of famous people. Well, in 1820, I think it was, he was painting a portrait for Daniel Boone. Daniel Boone by that time was 86 years old, I think it was. And so Harding was just starstruck. And he struck up a conversation with Daniel Boone and asked him a lot of questions about his travels and his experiences as a frontiersman. And so he asked Daniel Boone, he said, "Mr. Boone, in all of your travels through the wilderness, have you ever been lost?" And Daniel Boone, the 86-year-old man, said, "Well, you know, I can't say I've ever been lost. But I have been bewildered for about 3 days one time, you know." And I like that story. That's the kind of the way it is with troubles and trials in our life. We know they're coming, and many times yet we are bewildered by them. You know, and so what James teaches us, count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of, as the King James says, temptations, literally trials and troubles in your life. You count it joy. You got to be able to see that God has a purpose for all those things in your life. And things do work out for good. That's what the Bible says. To them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose. Anyway, we spent a lot of time talking about trials and troubles last week. Now this week we're going to learn is that what we need wisdom in our life. And the context suggests that we need wisdom to know how to handle those trials and troubles in our lives. That we're not defeated by them. We don't give up hope, but we need the wisdom of God. Maybe I could say it like this, to translate all those trials and troubles into something that's profitable for us. Now, I gotta tell you, I feel that all the time in my life, that, beloved, we need God's wisdom in our lives, especially in light of the fact that we do have trials and tribulations. Now, that's the context. Now, let me read my text to you if I can first. Starts at verse number 5. James says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." You ought to underline that in your Bibles. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." And then he says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." Now, we're gonna work our way through all of those verses by come Wednesday night. Tonight, I don't know how far I'll get in this. Maybe just the first main point, and no matter what time it is, I'll cut it off and we'll leave it there and finish it up Wednesday night. Now, I ran across something as I was putting this lesson together. It's entitled "The Wisdom of Children," and I put it on the screen because I thought it was kind of humorous and kind of cute. But here's the wisdom of children. Patrick, who's age 10. He says, "Never trust a dog to watch your food." Oh, Patrick is a pretty wise fella. I know that from experience. Never trust a dog to watch your food. Michael, age 14, says, "When your dad is mad and asks you, 'Do I look stupid?' don't answer him." Or never tell your mom her diet's not working. Now, I got a feeling old Michael's speaking from experience the hard way. when he said that. Randy, 9 years of age, says, stay away from prunes. It makes you wonder what old Randy had to experience by eating prunes. I'll let that go. Lauren, age 9, says, felt markers are not good to use as lipstick. Speaks for itself, doesn't it? And the two I really like, by Joel and Eileen, 10-year-old Joel said, don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. That's wise. And Eileen says, never try to baptize a cat. You know. Now, I gave you those because sometimes just a little humor kind of helps with difficult lessons, but I gave you that also because you've got to understand, age and wisdom do not automatically coincide. Now, let you stew on it for a minute. Because we're prone to think that the older we get, the wiser we get. You know. That's the way we think. You know what? That's not necessarily true. Because you can still be old and not have wisdom at all. You can be an old fool. And there's nothing worse than an old fool, is there? Age and wisdom do not necessarily coincide. Folks, if we want wisdom, we got to ask of God. That's where wisdom comes from. Now, let me give you some scriptures. I'll have all these on the screen, but you can also turn to them if you like. I could give you several scriptures here, but let me just give you a few. The first one is found actually over in the book of Ephesians and in chapter number 1 and in verse 15. Paul says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Now, I thought about this. Folks, there is nothing that I think is more comforting to me than to know that many of you are praying for me. I mean that. I like that. I feel confident that many of you are praying for me every day. I like the fact that you pray that God would provide my needs and listen, and He does that. He's always done that. He always will do that. I can confess to you tonight, I don't have one single need that I know of, that I'm aware of in my life. God has supplied all of my needs according to His riches and glory. But I just got to say this. If there's one thing that I wish that you would pray for me every day, if you would, is that God would give me wisdom as pastor of one of His churches. I run into situations all the time. I've told you this before. Everybody comes to the pastor, and I'll get asked some questions sometimes or face some problems that somebody has that I have no earthly idea what to say. I mean, I can come up with scripture and give to them, and you know, many times that's okay, I guess, but there's been some times I've been stumped. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to them. They get in such a mess sometimes in their life. I can tell you I run into hundreds of situations on a regular basis where I need God's wisdom. And so you pray that God would give me wisdom as a pastor, I'll say this a lot tonight, not just knowledge. Knowledge is important, but even more important than that is the wisdom to know what to do with that knowledge. That makes sense to you. Another one is in the book of Proverbs, in the second chapter, I believe it is, where it says, For the Lord giveth wisdom. In other words, if you want wisdom, you don't get it in the classroom. You get it in the prayer room. Make sense? The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment, preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, and every good path. The Lord is the one that gives us wisdom. Another one is found in Proverbs chapter 4. You probably knew I was going to go here when he says, listen, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, what? Wisdom. And she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee honor when thou dost embrace her, and shall give thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Folks, you know, again, wisdom is the principal thing. And again, if we're going to get wisdom, we've got to get it from God. And I'm not talking about information or the gathering of facts. You get that in the classroom. And that's equally important to get information, to get knowledge, gather up the facts. But that in itself is not enough. You got to know what to do with that information and that knowledge and those facts. So you don't get that in the classroom. You get that in the prayer room, you see. So wisdom then is the principal thing. Now, there's one more that I want to give to you. If you bring up the next slide. And I think this is the one I'm thinking about. I'll find it in my Bible. So you have a next slide back there, Joey? Maybe I don't. Maybe there's not one more. Maybe that's it. Anyway, I had several. I was trying to remember them all in my mind. But wisdom, he says, is the principal thing. Now, I thought about this. Listen, if there ever was a time when we need wisdom, it's this day and time. I thought about this. With all the information at our disposal today, we're learning a lot of stuff that I don't care to learn. you know what I'm saying? I read somewhere that information, we've got more information in the last 30 or 40 years than probably of all the rest of recorded history combined. I mean, it's right there. It's your fingertips, isn't it? We have all this information at our fingertips today. We have all this education. We are more educated than ever before. And yet we have a great shortage in this thing of wisdom. Somebody once said we have become a race of clever fools. That's true. In this set, the Bible says, you know what, a little knowledge, now I'm paraphrasing, really it says a knowledge puffeth up, but let me tell you something, a little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. And when you use that knowledge takes us away from God, that is a dangerous thing. There's people that become educated above their intelligence. They're what we call educated fools. I've run into a lot of educated fools. And so the point is, James says, folks, listen, with all the trouble, with all the trials that we have in this life, you need the wisdom of God to be able to translate that into something that's profitable to you. Now, if you need wisdom, here's what you need to do. You need to ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. So, I want to talk about this thing of wisdom. We may just get through the first point tonight. I'll save the other two for Wednesday night. But let me give you all three points if I can up front. In the first place, James talks about here the lack of wisdom. Now, folks, you might as well mark it down. Man does not have wisdom of his own. It's not possible. God is the source of all wisdom. And I'm telling you again, I see a great deficiency many times of that wisdom in my life. So he talks about the lack of wisdom. And then secondly, he talks about the Lord of wisdom. In other words, if you want wisdom, you go to the one that has it. Right? God is, he is the Lord of wisdom. And then lastly, the longing for wisdom. James says, if you lack wisdom, all you got to do is ask. Right? Ask of God who giveth to all men liberally. Now, in the first place, notice we have the lack of wisdom. I say that because here's how James starts this section out. He says, if any man lack wisdom, I just automatically think, I know it's by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but you really don't need to have the word if there. For us, we do lack wisdom, you see. If any man lack wisdom, and folks, I say, we have a deficiency in wisdom today. Now, in order to understand this lack of wisdom, let me divide this in two ways. In the first place, notice what I would call the definition of wisdom. In other words, we got to know what wisdom is in order to understand what James is talking about. By the way, there is a text, Proverbs, I got so many scribbles in my Bible, I can't find them all. But it is, I remember the text, in Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse 28, it says something like this. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. Isn't that something? Now, other places it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But in Proverbs 28:28, it says the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil, understanding. So we got to understand what this thing of wisdom is. In other words, again, wisdom is not intelligence. It's good to have a good IQ. I wish I had more of a higher IQ. But that's not wisdom. You can have a high IQ and still have the wisdom of a doorknob, you know. Wisdom is not, you can have a PhD. I'm not talking about being able to write a master thesis or a doctrinal dissertation. That's not wisdom at all. Wisdom is not intelligence. There are a lot of intelligent people that act dumber than a coal bucket. I didn't know how else to say that. I was trying to think something else. There's a lot of intelligent people out there. They have a lot of book sense, but they have no sense whatsoever. So wisdom, it's not intelligence. It's more than that. Nor is wisdom what we call common sense or good old horse sense. It's more than that. It's good to have common sense. I think it was Job who says, great men are not always wise. Boy, isn't that the truth. So it's not common sense. It's not horse sense. By the way, you know what horse sense is? Horse sense is the sense that the horse has not to bet on the horse race. That's horse sense. Well, wisdom is not intelligence. It is not common sense. It's not horse sense. Wisdom is not knowledge. You know. It is more than just knowledge. Knowledge, again, is accumulation of facts. Knowledge is a good thing. I'm not degrading knowledge. In fact, God said one time, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. And, of course, what he's talking about is knowledge of this book. Knowledge is a good thing. But that's not wisdom. Knowledge is having to being able to acquire facts and understand facts. Wisdom, then, is not intelligence. It's not knowledge. It's not common sense. It's not uncommon sense either. Wisdom is supernatural in origin. What I'm trying to get across to you, no matter how much experience you have in this life, that does not automatically translate into wisdom. Right? Wisdom is supernatural. Now, I jotted down a definition and see if you like this as much as I did. Wisdom is the supernatural gift from God that enables you to take knowledge that you have and knowledge you gain from the reading of God's Word, and then apply that knowledge to the problems in our life. Is that a good definition? It is the supernatural gift of God to take that knowledge that God has given me through His Word and then be able to apply that knowledge to the problems of my life. That's the context of James. And again, we got more knowledge today than ever before. We've got knowledge enough to go faster than sound. You know, we don't have the wisdom to know where to go. That's the problem. We got knowledge to make life, but we don't have the wisdom to make a good life or a good life living. So, are you following with me? You've got to understand what wisdom is. It is not intelligence, not knowledge, not common sense, not uncommon sense. Wisdom is the supernatural gift of God. If you want wisdom, then you go to God. So we have the definition of wisdom quickly. Then secondly, we have the deficiency of wisdom. James said again, if any man lack wisdom. Does anybody here feel like that you don't have enough wisdom to know what to do many times? Maybe I'm the only one who feels that way. You don't have the wisdom to know what to do many times in your life. There is a sad defeat. For example, I mean, the list is endless. Should I take that job or should I not take that job? And the funny thing is, though, if you're like me, you sit down, I like to try to weigh out the pros and the cons. You ever do that? The good things and the bad things to this. And then after I sit there and I weigh out all the pros and cons, the good things, the bad things, I still don't know what to do. You know. By the way, if your job takes you away from God, you know you should not take that job. Right? Not a question. Or no girl has to decide whether she marries that old knot-headed boy or not. Let's ask her to marry. You know what? Our young people need wisdom. Because I want to tell you something. Once you marry him, you're supposed to be with him for life. It's a life sentence. It should be. Should I marry him or should I not marry him? Now, to some girls, that may not be a big deal. You heard, I think it was John told this story before about this woman answered the phone one day and a little timid voice on the other end said, Mildred, would you marry me? She said, why, yes, I will. Then she said, by the way, who is this? You know. Should I take that job? Should I not take that job? Or wisdom dealing with children? Any of you parents ever messed up as a parent? I look back and I wonder how none of my children are in an insane asylum. I don't know why, you know, but parents need wisdom. I want to tell you something, especially what your children are facing today. You need wisdom. Or dealing with your spouse. Marriage is special. You know, you got to live with somebody all the time. And you need wisdom. The point is, folks, there is a deficiency. We can have all the knowledge in the world, and we still not have wisdom. Here's the good news. There is a lack of wisdom, but I know somebody who's the Lord of wisdom. The Bible says, Paul says to Timothy, that God is the only wise God. God is the source of all wisdom. Now, I'll go into the other 2 points Wednesday night before our business meeting. But let me tell you a story. I'll close out this first point if I can. A fellow named Hybels, I forget his first name. It just departed my mind. But I remember reading this week. He wrote an article one time called 178 Seconds to Live. And the article was about professional airline pilots who'd been pilots for many years, and they put them in a simulator one time, and you know, a simulator is like a big old video game. And they put them in that simulator, and that simulator is an amazing thing. You can simulate about every kind of condition you can imagine. Well, when they put them in the simulator, these experienced pilots, now this makes you feel real good about getting on an airplane. These experienced pilots did great, did wonderful when the weather was sunny. There was not much of a crosswind. But he says, and they put 20 different experienced pilots in this simulator. And they threw nasty weather at them. Crosswinds, thunderstorms. And he said, you know what? Every one of those 20 pilots crashed the airplane in the simulator. The longest one that lasted was 178 seconds. So he says, now it's a pretty comforting thought. You might have about less than 3 minutes to live with your experienced pilot in a severe storm. And the moral of all that story is, folks, it is the same thing with the storms in our life. When we have troubles, we have trials. We get along great when everything's going good. We're happy, right? But when the bad stuff happens, that's when you need the wisdom of God to be able to handle the trials of life. So, yeah, keep right on praying. God will bless and provide our needs and all that stuff. But the best thing you can pray for one another is, man, God give us wisdom to be able to handle the trials and troubles in this life. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. We'll get back and finish it up Wednesday night. All right, first and second verse.